life. Just a little while ago, we went to Thanksgiving dinner down at Mama's house. Couldn't everybody get in the house? So the men went outside and listened to the race or something and sat outside to eat. You remember that? And just a little while ago, we met over at our Mama's house and we had Christmas together. Just the other day. Jesus said, a little while I'm not going to be with you. In a little while I'm going to be gone. You know what I want you to realize today? In a little while, we'll be gone. Now I know you're young, you feel like you're going to live forever. When you jump out of bed and you're young, you say, good morning, Lord. Then you turn about 45, 50, 55, you crawl out of bed and you say, good Lord, this morning. In a little while, life's going to be over. Hebrews 4:14 says, our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Some people have never seen the sun come up. They'll get up a little bit earlier and watch that, and they'll understand that verse. That mist comes up. When that sun hits it, it's gone. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, unless you're saved and the rapture happens, you're not going to get out of this world alive. And you know what people are going to say after you're gone? They're going to say, just a little while ago, I remember when they were here. We need to realize that life is short. Life is like a vapor. My mama's 98. She can tell you things that happened 80 years ago that will blow your mind compared to what we have today. And you know what she says? She says, life really ain't that long. In a little while, life will be over. And what are we going to do then? You better enjoy what you got while you're here. You say, preacher, I'm poor. Poverty is not a roadblock to happiness. I've known a lot of poor people that were happy. Amen? And I'll tell you this right now. Riches do not bring happiness. And by the way, when your little while's over, you're going to leave all that junk anyway. People fret half their life to get wealth. And then the other half their life, they fret to keep it. When they could have been enjoying life and loving one another and enjoying one another. And in a little while, life will be over. I don't care if you ain't but 13. I don't care if you ain't but 12. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to say, where did the time go? In a little while, our Savior's coming back. In Acts chapter 1, and you know the story, he's standing there. He's preached to them and he's rose from the dead and he's preached to them. You know, he's giving them final instructions. And then as he's going up into heaven on a cloud, there's some angels standing there watching with the disciples. And the disciples are standing there gazing up at the Lord ascending up into heaven. And the angels interrupted. They say, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus which is going up is coming back in like manner. Now you say, well, wait a minute. That was 2017 years ago. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Time means nothing. To God, that was yesterday. To God, that was just a few minutes ago. That was just a little while ago. And in a little while, he's coming back. And scoffers will say, we've heard this since we've been born, as Peter said. We've heard this since we've been born. Where is this coming? And you know what? He's coming, and he's going to catch them unawares because their little while was being occupied with something other than the things of God.
Amen.
And it ain't going to be long. By the way, he's 2,017 years closer than he was when they said that. I think it might be in a minute, don't you?
Amen.
And in a little while, you know what? Your opportunity to be saved is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. You know what it means? Now. You know what that says in the original Greek? Now. You know what that means? In a little while, any minute, it might be right now. Your opportunity to be saved can be over. Now look here, think about this. He didn't have to call us to be saved the first time. Amen. He's God, He's holy, He's sovereign, He can do anything He wants to. And Brother Bud, He was not obligated to call sinners to repentance. He did it because He loved us. Amen. And there's not a person in this room, from the pulpit to the pew to the classroom, there's not one person in here who deserves to be saved. Not one. Not one. None of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No one ever has deserved it. And look, if you don't watch out, your little while to be saved might pass you by and you may not get another opportunity. That day I got saved, I accepted Christ. Six pew on the left-hand side at Eastside Baptist Church. They were singing the 300th verse of Just As I Am without one plea. And I was sitting there sweating and crying and sick on my stomach and didn't know what to do and didn't know how to act, and I'd never felt like that, and I was ashamed of myself, and I was ashamed of everything I'd ever done, everything I'd ever said, and I was scared to go down there. I was afraid people would make fun of me or that they knew what I had done. But finally I said, Lord, if you'll help me move my foot, I'll go down there. I'll do whatever I got to do. Amen. And I broke out and went down the aisle. And as I went, those burdens began to fall off. I was weeping and crying, and the burden of sin. By the way, there is a burden to sin, and all that stuff. And I just felt lighter and lighter, and it was better than any drunk I ever had. It was better than any experience I'd ever had. I was getting regenerated. A dead man was being made into a live man. And I grabbed that old big old preacher and I said, preacher, I got to get saved. I want to get saved. He said, He desires to save you. Amen. Amen. Now you let me tell you something. Everybody gets that opportunity. Nobody deserves it, but you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. You may get one. Me, I got 3 years of opportunity. People would come to my house, and I'd go to church. And every time I'd get around those people, I'd get so convicted. I'd read books about it and have nightmares about the rapture and going to hell and all that stuff. And finally, when I got saved, I felt like that day, Brother Billy, this is it. It's now or never. And that's what the Holy Spirit was telling me. I'm glad I didn't pass away my little while. I'm glad I broke out and came to the Lord and let Him save me. Amen? Won't be long. Remember, you were just a little kid the other day playing out there in the yard. Remember, you were just a teenager the other day. Remember, some of you just got married the other day. Remember, some of you just had kids of your own or grandkids. It was just the other day, just a little while. And in a little while, your time to be saved is going to pass by. Today is the day of salvation. And by the way, you're going to keep that appointment. There's a lot of people that's got a testimony of not keeping appointments, but you'll keep that appointment. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You can't avoid it. You can't cancel and reschedule it. Amen? You're going to keep that appointment. And in a little while, you better be ready to go. Amen? And then I thought about this. In a little while, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. Now, I've been saved since 1978. But I feel like it was just the other day. And in a little while, you know what, Brother Ron? I'm going to stand before my Savior. Amen. And I'm going to give account for the deeds done in my body while I lived here. Not to go to heaven or hell. I'm already going to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That can't be canceled. It's there forever. God's promised to keep me and present me faultless. That's His job. But when I get there, I'm going to be judged for how I live, for rewards or loss of rewards. In a little while. It's not going to be long. I know I kid about it, but I'm going to die. We're going to die. And as a believer, listen, you need to look back over your life and the little while that you've been saved, and you need to think about it. What have I done as a Christian? Have I done anything for the Lord?
Come on, man.
Have I done anything for other people? Or have I just been a self-serving, selfish, sinful, sorry son of God? In a little while, you're going to give account for coming to church today by yourself.
Amen.
That sounds mean, don't it? I am too. Now, I called people this week. I went to visit people this week. But in a little while, we're going to stand before our Savior, and He's going to want to know, well, who else did you bring? Who else did you get to salvation? Who else did you encourage? Or did you just come in here with empty hands? In a little while, Revelation 20:11 says, He said, and I saw a great white throne. In a little while, you're going to, as a lost sinner, without Christ, you have no hope, you have no promise of heaven, and where I'm going to stand before my Savior, and He's going to judge me for rewards or loss of reward in heaven, you're going to have to stand before a holy God. If you don't know Christ, you're going to stand before a holy God for judgment, not just to go to hell, but for the punishment that will be in hell.
Amen. Yeah.
See, God's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. Everybody doesn't get the same in hell, just like they don't get the same in heaven. God, do you think that God would be holy and just if He sent a ISIS Muslim fanatic who chopped people's head off, if He punished him the same way He did some old drunk or something that wouldn't get saved, but he never hurt nobody but himself? No, God's got different degrees of punishment in hell, just like He's got different degrees of reward in heaven.
Amen.
And if you're not saved today, you know what? In just a little while, you're going to stand before that holy God, and God is going to judge you according to your works, not by faith in Christ, but according to what you did. And He said, all our works is as filthy rags, so you can't do anything good enough to merit heaven. And you're going to die and go to hell, and you're going to stand before that holy God to give account for why you rejected the Savior and how you lived after that. Won't be long. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tonight. Maybe by the time you leave here. Luke 16:19 says, in hell He lift up His eyes, being in torments. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't cool at one degree because you don't believe it. It doesn't change a thing just because you don't believe it. And I know you don't believe in hell because if you did, you'd get saved. So it's not a shock to us when you tell us you don't believe in hell. You also don't believe in heaven. If you did, you'd get saved. Amen? And look, in just a little while, I don't care if you're 12 years old or 98 years old. In a little while, you're going to give account to a holy God and have to tell Him why you did not receive His Son after all His Son did for you, after He lived a sinless life you cannot live, and after He died in the sinner's place, He didn't have to die. He died in your place. And after He paid for your sins with His own precious blood, you're going to have to stand for a holy God and tell Him why you called Him a liar and said, God, I don't believe that.
Right.
Just a little while. I've been to the cemetery and preached funerals of. I did one that was died at birth. Died at birth. I preach funerals for all ages, all kinds of people. They called me one time to preach a funeral of a young man who came to my church one time, and he rejected the gospel that time. And he went out, and what, a year later, he died. Young man, in his 20s. And I had no part of the planned funeral. They just called me all of a sudden. It happened all of a sudden. They wanted to get him in the ground. You know how some people are. Because they had no hope. And so I go down to the funeral home and they play this rock, this heavy metal rock music song. And in this song, it keeps saying, there is no hope. There is no hope. There is no hope. In that song, by the way, the world has a lot of songs like that. And so here's the whole place. They're weeping and crying over this young man because they had no hope. And so I got up. I said, you know what? I don't like that song, but it's absolutely right. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope in this present world or the world to come. You have no hope without Jesus Christ. No hope of heaven. No hope of reward. No hope of happiness. No hope of anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached Jesus Christ. And I did not mention that young man not one time. Because he'd already preached his funeral. By the way he lived. And by denying Christ. And I'm sorry to say where he went. But I can tell you this. If people do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the short little amount of time that God gives us, they will not go to heaven. Jesus died to save sinners. And if you want to call God a liar and not receive him as your Savior, you go right ahead. But in a little while, you're going to stand before that God and you're going to have to tell him to his face.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know, they lived an awful life and they had a lot of trouble and they had a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. I'm just glad it's all over. It ain't over. And it never will be over. You have an eternal person living in you that's going to live as long as God lives, and you've got to make a choice in the little time you got. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? He gives you the freedom to make that choice, and you've got to make it. Nobody else can make that choice for you. Don't you think, well, if I just take these pills, it'll all be over and I'll die. It will not be over. You're going to open up your eyes somewhere. It says in Luke 16, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He saw Lazarus over in paradise. Poor Lazarus. He died, but he's a believer, and he was in paradise. Now, there's only two places to go. Your soul ain't going to hang around the house and haunt that house, though some of you already do that. You're not going to be a spook. You're an eternal living being that God made. And you're not like a dog or a cat. When they die, and all dogs don't go to heaven. None of them go to heaven, by the way. And you can make youngins out of them if you want to. But when you bury them, that's the end of them.
Amen.
You're not like that. You have an eternal person living right down in that hole right there.
Amen.
In the 1970s, New York Times come out with a front page ad, and it said, scientists have concluded that God is dead. And I heard this preacher said he heard this old black bishop. They asked him what he thought about it. And he said, well, if God is dead, who's this living way down in my soul? Amen. God's eternal, and therefore you're eternal. And in a little while, you're going to meet God. The prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? Your little while is just about up. You say, preacher, you don't know how long I'm going to live. Your mama's 98 yet, and there's a woman in there 100 and something. But you know what? That's just a little while. That's just a little while. What are we going to do with our little while? Because once we leave this body, it's not a little while anymore. It's eternal. In eternity. And you decide your destiny during your little while. And that'll decide what your eternity is going to be like. I just got saved. It was just a little while ago. I cried all day. I cried all day. God saved me. Sorry as I was, he saved me. Hey, that day I didn't care what people thought of me after I got saved.
Amen.
I didn't care what you thought about me crying. I didn't care what you thought about me believing on a man that you think ain't even alive anymore.
Amen.
I didn't care. I didn't care what you thought about what I thought about the Bible anymore. I didn't care what you thought about me. I was saved and on my way to heaven, and I wasn't ashamed, and I've not been ashamed of the gospel of Christ since that little while ago. I've been ashamed of me. I have. I've been ashamed of me. If you're honest, you'd have to say the same thing. Boy, I've never been ashamed of him. He loved me when nobody else understood. And he cared when it didn't seem like anybody else cared. Old Dr. Charles Weigel wrote that song, "Nobody Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." My mama couldn't love me the way he did. My wife couldn't love me the way he did. My beautiful little children at the time, they couldn't love me the way he did. Oh, they loved me. They tried the best they could. But nobody can love you like Jesus Christ. And he wants to give you eternal life. And he gave you a little while to make that decision. And don't let it pass today. Some of you Christians, you don't pray like you ought to. You don't pray like you used to. You don't read your Bible like you used to. You don't witness like you used to. You don't live like you used to. You used to live like it mattered. You used to live like you cared. And now you're wasting your little while people around you, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your brothers, your sister, your mama, your daddy, their little while spent, and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you wasted as a believer your little while when you could have been living and talking and walking to encourage them to spend their little while believing on the Savior too. In just a little while, we'll have another funeral. You come back to this church next year, somebody that's here right now will not be here next year. We'll have another funeral. Their little while will be past. They may be old, Clint, they may not. They may be young, you never know. So today, you had a little while to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And now I'm going to give you a little while, just a little bit, to make a decision. Are you saved? Do you know it? I mean, do you know with all your heart and your mind, you met the Savior one day, you asked Him to save you, you put it all on Him, and now you know you're going to heaven because of what He did and not what you did or you do. And then as a Christian, I want you to think about this. If somebody else depended on you to get to heaven, you think they're going to make it? And by the way, there is somebody else somewhere in your life. There's other people. They need somebody to be the example of being saved.
Amen.
And listen to this. You're the only Bible they're ever going to read. Well, if he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. I hope you didn't spend your little while like that and ruin your testimony. Some of you might want to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I've gotten cold in my little while. I don't have much longer to go. I sure would like to be red hot on fire for God again like I was that day." You might just want to come up here and rededicate your life and say, "I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I was there when it happened. But Lord, I am wasting my little while down here. Help me, Lord." If you're not saved, run down here. There's going to be a preacher standing right here with a Bible. And we're not going to embarrass you. He'll take you to a little room there. He'll read you three or four scriptures that'll help you receive the Lord. And then you can pray or not pray. But if the Lord was nudging me today, I'd say, "Look, this may be the last while I have. I'm going to do it right now." Let's stand. Father, I don't